Tonight, the God Kind of Faith, the series. So come with me as we look at what we will title tonight, what to do when I begin to doubt, if I'm doubting God's promises. What to do if I doubt God's word or God's promises, when that happens. So thank you very much. It's a great honor, in spite of the initial problems we had with the broadcast. We are back, and I can see everybody's eager. You're all back in the house. That shows that the power of God is present tonight to heal every one of us as we hear this word. Okay, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you that when everything goes chaotic, just like it was in Genesis chapter 1, when the earth was without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, your word and your spirit hovered upon the face of the water, and your word came. You spoke, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible, your word written, tells us clearly, it is by faith, through the hearing of your word, that we know and understand that everything visible was created by the invisible. So thank you tonight, as your word will create, bring forth faith in every heart and every mind. And I pray for the creative power of your spoken word and the power of your spirit to hover upon every heart right now and turn every heart, transform every heart into a good ground that will receive the seed, the very seed of the word. They will receive, they will believe, they will conceive, and they will bring forth good fruit to the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. If you stumbled on this broadcast, somebody sent the live broadcast to you, you're in the right place. It is not an accident. Now, let me start by saying tonight, and let me remind us, one of the things we're learning about faith is that faith is very, 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 I'm emphasizing the word very, personal. Faith is very personal. And once again, you want to comment, you want to ask questions, let me just bring the Slido. It's sli.do. The code is 46431. If you have any question based on what we're sharing tonight, please participate and share your comments. All right. Faith is very personal. Listen, we can all hear the same thing. And how we hear the same thing that we all heard can be different. And it is usually very different. There was a time in the Bible, the Bible records that it thundered. Not that it actually thundered. God actually spoke. And when God spoke in heaven, do you know what people heard? People heard thunder. They thought it thundered. God spoke and they thought. So you see, our thought pattern, our mindset affects how we hear. The way our minds are set, if you are biased, if you are negative, for example, and somebody's trying to even compliment you, you might think they are actually flattering you. And that's as a result of the state of your mind. It's not like they want to flatter, they're actually complimenting. So right now, that's why I prayed at the start that God Almighty will transform every heart tonight, will become a good ground. And you will hear with the hearing of your ears, the hearing of faith that comes by hearing through every faculty. Your heart, your mind will be reset into like a fertile ground, and the word of God like a seed will come to you. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible tells us that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, let me read Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think, look at that word again, think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Please note that, because our thinking is what affects how we receive the word of God, what we hear when God speaks. And I'm praying again, you will hear the word of faith tonight. He says, for grace, but by the grace given to me, I say unto everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. The New King James Version says in that latter part that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each one of us have our different measures of faith. That is why you'll see all through the scriptures, not all through, but there's something right running through the scriptures that says that the just shall live by his own faith. And you will see Jesus relating with human beings. In one place, he would tell them, do you believe? Be it unto you according to your belief, according to your faith. In another place, he will say, as you have believed, be it unto you according to what you believe. So tonight, we are looking at what do we do when we begin to doubt the word of God we're hearing or a promise of God. Like tonight, you might hear what we're discussing, what we're sharing, and then doubts begin to arise. And sincerely, there are some people watching this live broadcast. You've been standing upon God's promises. You've read the word of God over and over, but doubts has arisen in your heart, maybe as a result of the fact that you're not seeing the things you are expecting. You know, let's remember the definition of faith. It's substance of things hoped for. What you are hoping for, you don't see. And because you don't see it, hope is deferred. And the Bible also recognizes that when hope is deferred, the heart can be sick. The heart can be discouraged. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So as a result of the fact that in this world we live in, seeing is believing. When we don't see, it affects our faith. We begin to doubt. So what do we do? Let's look at belief. Time will permit us to quickly look into the word of God tonight. And let's look at two examples, very key examples, that is going to help us when we have promises. We've heard the promises. We've heard the word of God, we've had the word of faith, but then we are sincerely beginning to doubt. Okay, so come with me. The first story we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 9. Now, there's a story there from verse 17 of Mark chapter 9. What happened here was that there was a crowd, and the crowd surrounded a man and his son who was sick. And Jesus wasn't there, but his disciples were there. So Jesus now got there and said, what's going on here? More or less. And in verse 17 of Mark chapter 9, the Bible says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. Wherever he seizes him, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Verse 19, let's see Jesus' response. Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. So they brought him to him. They brought the son that was foaming in the mouth and had the problems with the foul spirit. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, hear what Jesus said to this man and hear the man's response. I know you've read it before, but listen now with a reset mindset. Listen like you've never had this story before, because we are learning something about faith for a new season. Faith like we've never heard it before. So just following the simplicity. So Jesus said to this man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Please note what Jesus said. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Hear the man's response. Immediately the father of the Lord cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Is that not an irony? Jesus said to the man, if you believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The man responds, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know what we're looking at tonight? What happens when we begin to doubt? This man said to Jesus, I believe. But you know what? I am actually doubting what I believe. So help my unbelief, because I am struggling with what I believe. This is a very sincere man. Very, very sincere man. And we will learn something tonight. Okay, let me just chip this in. What do I do when I begin to doubt God's promise? When I begin to have a doubt of even my faith, what should I do? Listen, learn something from this man. What did this man do? This man actually was real. He spoke the truth that was in his heart. He didn't try to fake it. He didn't try to faith it. Like, you know, I've had some Bible-believing Christians say, you know, just faith it. Just faith it. No, this man didn't try to faith nothing. He told Jesus, he told the Lord, just as it is. I believe, but I'm doubting. So you know what? The first thing to do, please put this as a foundation, when I begin to doubt the word of God or doubt God's promises, is to be real with God, is to tell God that, you know what? I am struggling with my faith. I am actually struggling with what I believe. Your promises, I can read your promises, but you know what? I don't believe them anymore. Wow, somebody may say, really? But I thought without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I shouldn't come to God with unbelief. Listen, it's not a case of coming to God with unbelief. It's a case of coming to God with the truth that is in your heart. Because the Bible says God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God sees the heart. God knows when we believe and when we don't believe. God knows when we're slipping into unbelief. Listen, you don't do no braggado with God. You can do your braggado with human beings and try to impress people that you're a man of faith, you're a woman of faith, you know, and you fake it, you faith it, or you fake it until you make it. Not with God. You have got to be real. Let that foundation be there. What do I do when I begin to doubt God's word? What do I do when I begin to have doubt, unbelief in my heart? Number one, tell God that you are struggling with your faith. But that doesn't sound like faith. Listen, that is faith, because God hears the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Don't come to God. Maybe the reason why you've not seen the manifestation is because you have been faking it and faithing it, all on the platform, all on the disguise that you're actually still in faith. You know, the Bible says we should examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. It's something we need to do constantly. There is no need pretending that you are still believing when you've already slipped into doubt. Listen, I will tell you another story. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus was walking on water. It's impossible to walk on water, you know? But remember, the things that are impossible with men starts with God making it possible. Where impossibility ends is where God's possibility starts. So Jesus was walking on water. Peter and the rest of the disciples were in the boat. And Peter said, "Jesus, if it is you truly walking on that water, just tell me to come." And the Bible says, Jesus said, "Come." The Bible said, Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water and he was going towards Jesus. He actually walked on the water. He took the first steps and he was already walking. Now, if you study the Bible closely, you will see that he actually almost walked to the arm's length of Jesus. Because when he began to sink, the Bible simply said Jesus stretched out his hand and, you know, pulled him up, which shows that he was close enough. He had walked on that water close enough to Jesus. But what happened? He got there, almost there, walked on the water, and he began to doubt. The Bible said he saw the winds, he saw the waves, just like maybe that's why you are doubting now, because what you're seeing is contrary to what you're believing for. And what you have been seeing is even fierce. You've been trying to faith it. You've been trying to believe. But now you begin to doubt. The Bible said Peter, when he saw the waves, when he saw the wind, boisterous wind, he began to sink because he began to doubt. But do you know what Peter did? He cried out. He cried out, "Lord, save me." He was sincere. He was honest. Listen, don't fake it when it comes to God. So that's one thing. So this man, let's go back to our story in Mark chapter 9. Very key, because believers don't realize that when they are slipping into unbelief, they should be open and sincere with God. Listen, I know you've been a believer for years, and maybe you've never heard it like this before. This is the word of God. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That in itself is a prayer, a cry for help. So let's note that, okay? We will come back, if time permits, to this story. But the key one I want us to look at tonight, we're going to look at tonight, is a very interesting one. The father of faith. Where actually God initiated this work of faith. He initiated it with Abraham, a man called Abraham. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Please feel free to keep your questions coming, or you listen, and then you can ask questions after. Next week again will be our question and answer session. So note all these things and you can ask. All right. In Genesis and chapter 18, now there is a story there. Let me give us the background of the story and then we'll read this. Abraham, the Bible said one day God came to him, and when God came to him, God said, "Leave your father's house, leave your family, and leave your country unto a land I will show you." The Bible said Abraham, all he did was heard God, and he stepped out. That in itself is a step of faith. Remember how faith comes? By hearing the word of God. Listen, Another key thing we need to note is that, please check your faith. Did you actually hear God? Or you heard, remember, there are four sources of hearing of faith. Is it your mind that spoke to you and you thought it was God? Is it what somebody said, not necessarily God, even though they quoted the scripture, it sounded like God, but it's not God? You can hear your mind, you can hear people, you can hear the devil. And listen, I was sharing with someone, and you're going to hear something now that probably you've heard before, or some of us might not have heard it before. Do you know that the devil knows the Bible? Ooh, oh yeah, the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus when he came to tempt Jesus. And the scripture he quoted to Jesus wasn't a, it wasn't a misquoted scripture. He quoted Psalm 91, right? He quoted it. And listen, he quoted it right. It was the word of God. And he quoted it to Jesus. He told Jesus, you jump down from this high mountain because it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. They will bear you up so that you will not fall and dash your feet against a stone. The devil even quoted the Bible to Jesus. So at times you can even hear a scripture, listen, and it's not God speaking to you. Ooh, where's that written? I've just told you. The devil quoted the word even to Jesus. Let me tell you something. The devil and devils and demons, they are not unbelievers. Now it's getting more scary. No, the Bible tells us that, do you think you have faith? It's in the book of James. He said, do you think you believe? Oh, come on. Even devils believe and they tremble. The devil is a believer in God. The devil does not doubt God. The devil does not, demons don't doubt the existence of God. That's why when they hear the word of God, they must obey, because they recognize the authority of the word of God. They know the power of God. That's the power that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 28, that all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. All power. And he even said somewhere, behold, I give you power over the power of the enemy to tread upon serpents and scorpions. The devil is not an unbeliever. The devil believes the Bible, believes the word of God more than you. That's why the devil hears the word and demons hear the word and they obey. Believers hear the word and they doubt. The devil does not doubt the word of God. So, because the devil knows the word of God, the devil can also quote the word of God to you. That's why the devil is described as subtle, deceitful. He's called the deceiver. You know what the devil does? He will give you the word of God, but it will be out of context. The context in which God will bear us up, that we will not dash our feet against the stone. If you read Psalm 91 and verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he now said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. It's a confession, a declaration of someone who has not left the secret place of God. That's the person that God says he will bear you up, you know, under his wings. So you won't dash your foot against the stone. That's the context of Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is not you going to be dared by the devil. That the Bible says he will bear me up and anger his wings. So you go on top of a cliff and jump. That's not God. The Spirit of God leads the children of God. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So note that. Number one, if you are doubting the word of God, this is the first thing we said, be real. Tell God you are doubting. You don't believe anymore. I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm doubting. Number two, examine even the source of that word you heard. You can safely also do that in your sincerity. Wait a minute, did I hear God? Is this God's promise? Did God say this to me? Was it my mind? Because that's part of what actually happens when we're doubting. Maybe it's not God. Maybe it's my mind that spoke to me. Okay? Secondly, maybe I'm just acting on this because the pastor said this, or a bishop said that, or that mighty man of God said it, but not necessarily that I believe it because it's of God. And thirdly, maybe this scripture, I'm actually tempting God. It's not like the scripture, the word I heard is from God directly. It's actually the enemy, the deceiver, throwing this scripture to me. And I'm holding on to what God didn't say, even though it's the Bible, just like that. Listen, who do you think you are? If the devil can quote the Bible to Jesus, the word of God, you think the devil won't quote the word of God to you? So in the place of your sincerity, and you're doing that self-examination, you sincerely ask these questions. Did I hear my mind? Is it, I'm just having this faith based on what somebody said? Look, don't have faith in somebody else's faith. Remember, faith is an individual thing. Faith is personal. The just shall live by his own faith. Thirdly, wow, is this the devil that quoted this scripture to me? If you sincerely examine yourself, God will come through and God will help you see if you heard his word and if that word you're standing on is of him. Okay, let's go back to this story. Wow, time is failing me tonight. Can I just ask, let me crave your indulgence. Give us 10 minutes. 10 minutes means we'll go 5 minutes extra to the time because this is very key to your life. This is very key to mine, your faith. All right, so Abraham, the Bible says, God spoke to him, leave your father's house. The Bible said Abraham, he heard, he believed, he walked. He didn't know where he was going. He only went because he heard God say. And of course, as he went, things happened. A lot of things went wrong as he was going. Trials came. You know, he was meant to leave his family. Lot went with him. Lot became a problem. Lot was his nephew, you know. And, you know, the trying thing I was meditating today, do you know that because Lot went with Abraham, Lot became prosperous with possessions. Even more than Abraham at a point, because Lot had his own wife, married his wife. His wife gave him daughters. The daughters even married husbands. They ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. All this while, Abraham, that God started faith with, didn't even have a child. He didn't even have one child. Until Sarah had even gone through menopause. So the promises, what the blessings, were not really that manifesting. Because the uttermost pain in the heart of Sarah and Abraham was, hey, we don't have children. And God, you said, through our seed, you will bless the families of the earth. Through us, the families of the earth will be blessed. Even I don't have a child. So Abraham had complained to God, I don't have a child. Even servants in my house have children, you know, and I've seen one of them, one of my servants' child. Maybe that child will become the, you know, we inherit these promises. Think about the ridicule. Think about it. Even Lot, his nephew, had children, his wives had, you know, to let you see how long. So at this point, one day Abraham was there in Genesis chapter 18, and God showed up through angels. Do you know what God told him? God told him, the Bible says, you know, in verse 6, God, you know, three men from God appeared to him. Verse 7, Genesis 18, Abraham went, you know, he made food for them. And the Bible said, these angels were eating. Then verse 9, they asked him a question. Where is Sarah, your wife? He said, here in the tent. Hear what God said. The promises of God. Listen now. Because where we're going is to let us see how Sarah doubted that word. Now, God spoke to Abraham. Please follow this carefully. He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. That, in other words, in 9 months' time, behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, the Bible says Sarah was listening in the tent door. He was behind them. Who did God speak to? Abraham, promising Abraham he will have a son through Sarah, his wife. Okay? Sarah was listening. Sarah didn't believe. The Bible says, verse 11, Genesis 18, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So this situation now, scientifically, biologically, everything, no hope of having children again. So what was Sarah's response? Verse 12, she doubted that word. Remember, what we're talking about tonight is what to do when we begin to have doubts of God's promises. So what now happened? Let's read Genesis chapter 18. So in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11, the Bible says, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. In other words, we are both old. I can't even bear children anymore. And even, you know, Papa Abraham, he can't perform. Now, look at this. She remember when we begin to doubt, what did we say we should do? Be real, be sincere. Just like that man we saw in Mark chapter 9. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Sarah was real. Sarah didn't say, yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, amen. You know, like we shout, amen. You shout all the amen. In all sincerity, it's not how loud your amen is that shows you have faith. It's how deep your belief is. How deep you have received, acknowledged, recognized that even though logic is saying this is not possible, but because God said it is possible, that's why I say amen. I believe it deep in my heart. So it's not how loud your amen is, it's how deep your faith is. That shows you actually believe. So she was real. How is this going to happen? Is anything? And then guess what? God spoke again. When we are sincere with God, I believe that's when God also is sincere with us. There's something I've learned. If you want God to be real with you, if you want God to be real to you, you've got to learn to be real with God. Let me repeat that. If you want God to be real to you, you have to learn to be real with God. So she said, it is not going to happen. So she laughed. So hear what God said. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child since I'm old? God now sincerely responded. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Please, look at that. When she doubted and she was real, God responded and God reinforced his promise. God reassured her. God reaffirmed what he's able to do. Now, because you will see what happened between this period and when we go to Genesis 21, what happened when Sarah eventually conceived. But let me show us something, right? When you look at the book of Hebrews talking about faith, the Bible said in Hebrews, look at it, and then we'll go back to Genesis. In Hebrews chapter 11, remember Sarah doubted, and Sarah was real with her doubts. But then the Bible tells us how Sarah summarizes it in Hebrews 11:11. You can't forget that. Hebrews 11:11. That's the faith chapter. The Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. In Genesis chapter 18, she doubted. In Genesis chapter 18, she was real with her doubts. In Genesis chapter 18, we saw she laughed. In fact, when God even challenged her, she said, oh, no. I wasn't laughing. But the Bible says she was afraid. So what happened between Genesis 18 and Genesis 21? That's a summary we see in Hebrews 11. Remember, who did God speak to that they were going to have a son? It was Abraham. But then Sarah heard it. Faith comes by hearing. She heard it, but she doubted it. She heard it and doubted it. So, but the Bible now says that Sarah had to come to a point herself where she now had to have that faith. Remember, faith is very personal. The faith of Abraham was not the faith Sarah used to conceive. Sarah herself needed that faith. The Bible said she received the strength to conceive seed. She bore a child, impossible, past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So Sarah herself needed her own faith. She had to develop her own faith. Sarah conceived. But let me show you what Sarah conceived. This is amazing. We're going to round up now. Apologies for everything that's happened, but I believe you are still on this live broadcast because God wants you to hear this, and you didn't go because you know that what you're about to hear is actually what you need to strengthen your faith right now. So let's go back. Genesis 18 was where she heard the word. She doubted. Genesis 21 was when she conceived. Remember, Sarah herself needed to have faith, not the faith of Abraham, but the faith of Sarah. It was ironic that it was God that was having a conversation with Abraham, not even with Sarah, but even at that, Sarah herself needed her own faith. So let's see what happened. Genesis 21, as I begin to close. Genesis 21, please don't miss this. What to do when we begin to doubt God? Sarah doubted God in Genesis 18. And out of the reality of what was going on in her heart, she spoke. God heard it, and God had to come and reaffirm and spoke words to her. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Do you know what God was doing there? God was reasoning with Sarah. Sarah logically reasoned it was not possible to conceive at that age. That is why we have been talking about faith in the impossible. You've got to come to a point where you logically reason that, you know what, this is not possible. This is not humanly, scientifically, logically possible. You've got to come to that point. Don't deceive yourself, because the faith for the impossible, the faith for what God can do, can make possible, has to come after you come to the realization that it is not possible. So where impossibility ends is where possibility starts, with God. But you've got to logically come to that point where logic will tell you it is not possible. But logically, look at the question God asked Sarah in that Genesis 18. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Do you know what that means? The Lord means the maker. The Lord means the creator. The Lord means Jehovah. The Lord means the one who is self-existent. He doesn't need anything. He made everything. So the one who is the creator of everything, the self-existent one, is it not possible for him Is there anything that is so hard for him to do? He made the whole world. So the person who made the whole world, is there anything that is too hard that he can't make or make? Come on, let's reason, Sarah. More or less, it looks like that's the conversation God was having with her. Is there anything? So you ask yourself, logically, the creator of everything, is there anything that is too hard? Is there anything that is too hard for him? Can I tell you the only impossible thing, which we saw? He cannot lie. If he said it, it will happen. Okay, let's see how Sarah received strength. I close Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Verse 1. And the Lord, the maker, the owner, the master, the one that made everything, the one that nothing is too hard for him to do, visited Sarah as he had said. Please note that word. The faith, the God kind of faith we learned last week, speaks. So God said, God visited as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. What God did for Sarah was what God said. What God made happen for Sarah was what God spoke. That's why whatever your faith will be, this God kind of faith starts with the word of God and ends with the word of God. You heard what God said. Remember last week? What are the rudiments? We broke it down. You heard it. That you heard it is not enough. You have to receive it. What does it mean to receive? You've got to be intentional. Use your logic to receive. Receiving is deliberate and intentional. Yeah, I can stretch out all my hand to you for 200 years. I have something to give you. If you don't stretch out your hand to receive, you will not receive it. Don't say, I receive it, and you're doing nothing about it. Listen, Jesus died over thousands of years ago, 2,000 years, over 2,000 years ago, like, you know, they tell us chronologically, and he has been stretching out his salvation for 2,000 years, and people are not receiving the his salvation. Does that not tell you that the human will is involved here? Look, faith is not some spooky thing. Faith doesn't just jump on you. You receive. Listen, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. What did Sarah receive? The word God spoke. And that word transformed her, gave her the strength to conceive. What she conceived was the word of God. She conceived that word, and that word became flesh in her. Past menopause, past childbearing age. So she conceived what God said. Have you heard people saying they're pregnant with ideas? It's a thought. It's something in them. They meditate on it. They ruminate on it. They grow it to conceive. Before you conceive, you've got to receive. Look at it logically. A woman can't conceive unless she first receives seed. The seed in this context is the word of God. So you want to conceive. Listen, it's not the human seed you're looking for first. It's the seed of the word of God. They have told you this is impossible. They have told you your womb is ruptured. They've told you this is happening. No, the first thing to receive, to conceive, is the word of God that says the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. So what Sarah conceived was the word that God spoke, because God visited her as he had said. And God did. The Bible says the Lord did for Sarah as he has spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time, listen to it again, of which God has what? Spoken. The faith, the God kind of faith, speaks. You hear it, you receive what God said, And then you believe, because it's after you receive, you can believe. You receive it in your logical thinking that, yes, this is impossible, but you know what? Logic, and I'm going against logic to say, yes, it's impossible, but logically, the one who made everything said he can do. Nothing is too hard for him. And what he said, he can't lie. So you hear, you receive, you believe, speak it. Faith speaks. And it happens, because you will see the manifestation as you begin to act on that word. Are you getting me? Do you know the action Sarah and Abraham must have taken here? Come on, what are you telling me? Abraham, Father Abraham, suddenly he was charged. He received strength. Mother Sarah conceived the word of God she had received. A body aligned, bang. When Father Abraham sent the human seed, bang, fertilized the eggs in her womb. She produced seed. She produced eggs. And according to the time of life, the son was born. Listen, I close with this tonight, and thank you for staying till the end. When you begin to doubt God's promises, be sincere with yourself. Examine who gave this promise. Did I really hear God? Because when you begin to ask those sincere questions, is when God will speak to you sincerely and either reinforce what he said or help you see that, you know what? You've just been assuming that I was the one who spoke, but this is actually my promise to you. Okay? Because of our time tonight, we'll leave the questions maybe till next week. Let me see if anybody's put anything in the comment section. Okay? And logic tells you now, you've got to be real with God so that God can be real to you. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Somebody's commenting that people have prayed over my situation. Some even have prophesied that the things will change, but it hasn't happened. How do I keep believing what God has said? That's exactly what you've heard tonight. You go back to God with sincerity. If you're doubting, let him know. And if he's the one who spoke through the prophecies and even the prayers, he will tell you. But you know what? Maybe you need a fresh seed. And that's what you've heard tonight. And I tell you in the name of Jesus, over that person, your situation will change for the better to the glory of God. Whatever that situation is, God knows. How do I keep believing what God has said? That's the question. You need to know what God has said. Out of your sincerity, go back to God. I tell you something, you know, let me quickly say this as I continue to pray. It came to me, you know, when we married and God spoke to me, it was me God spoke to. I was away from my wife and God spoke to me that he has given us a son and his name is, I should call his name Noah. You know, I was even away from my wife. I heard it, I wrote it down. So I came back to my wife. When I came back from where I traveled to, and I told her, this is what God told me. That you're going to be pregnant and you are going to have a son and his name is Noah. So, well, we believed. And then shortly after then, she conceived. And we were happy. And then you know what happened? Shortly after that, she started bleeding. I mean, she bled and bled and bled. And I was so naive that time. And she said, don't I know what it means when a woman bleeds like this after she's conceived? I said, I don't know. She said, it means the pregnancy has been lost. Oh, Lord. Now, I'm telling you something, it shook me. But I thought within myself, you know what? That's not really my problem. Unless God was not the one who spoke to me, that seed, that baby in your womb, that baby that seems like we've lost, unless it's not God that spoke, then we will lose the baby. But if it's God that spoke to me, we're going to have a son, and that pregnancy is still there. We left it. Of course, she cried and all that. Later, we found out the pregnancy was still there. Then, I don't know how many months into the pregnancy. Let me ask my wife. She's in the studio here. How many months into the pregnancy when we almost lost the baby again? When you started having what they call false labor. How many months was it? Can you remember?
7 months.
7 months. It was like she was going to have a miscarriage. Of course, I tell you something, we panicked and rushed her to the hospital, and they said that we're going to put her, you know, she's got to be still because this baby will come out. And in those days, they said they don't even have the facility, we're going to lose the pregnancy. But I remembered God's promise. God, you said. Held it, reassured our faith again to God, are you the one who spoke? And then finally, the child was born after 9 months. I checked the date which our first son was born. It was exactly 9 months after the day God spoke to me the previous year. Exactly the day it was 9 months. So I'm not just sharing something, some theory with you. I want you to know that if God spoke, let God bring his word to pass. You don't have to fret. You stay on the word of God. Do not think highly of yourself. How do I do this when I'm proud? A person in my heart is proud. Be sincere with yourself. Go to God. God will let you know if you're actually proud. God will let you know if you are thinking highly of yourself. This faith we're talking about, you don't fake it. You've got to be real. How do I know if God is speaking to me? Simple. The Bible says that God will always confirm his word with signs following. Listen, God never contradicts himself. If God spoke to you, then ask God, ask the Holy Spirit when you're praying to confirm that he's the one who spoke. This is not a case of doubt. Listen, all this, oh, you know, you don't talk like that, it means that you're doubting God. Listen, what did we just see? If you are in doubt, tell God you're doubting, and God will reinforce to you he's the one who spoke to you. You see, God will show you from his written word what he has spoken, the spoken word you've heard. God will not tell you anything that contradicts what he's written. That's why Jesus himself, the living word of God, who went about doing good, he always referred to the written word. And even Jesus did not do anything except what the Father told him. So God will not tell you anything contrary to what is written. That's how you know if God is speaking to you. If you are in doubt, if this is God, pray. Be sincere. Examine yourself.